So we're in Matthew chapter 15 this morning, and we're looking down to verse 21. I'll preach on this, and I think it'll make sense as we go into it. What is stopping you? And we'll see this from Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse 21. We'll read down to verse 28. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We'll stand together, and we'll read these verses responsively. I'll read the first verse. I ask you to join me on every other verse, and we'll go down to verse 28 just like that. Matthew chapter 15, I'll begin in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said,
I am not sent but unto the lost sheep
of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said,
It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.
And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We'll preach on again, what is stopping you? And we're going to pray and then jump right into it. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray one more time. Now, Lord, we come to your word. And we look to you for help in this. Speak to hearts, draw us closer to yourself. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Let me start maybe in a little different direction, kind of lay a little bit of foundation. And then we'll go into some scripture that at first glance I think is troubling to us or at least confusing to us. As human beings, you know this, I mean, you know you and you know me and we know each other. We know we're this way. As human beings, we can excuse or rationalize or justify basically any situation and how we respond to it. I mean, we can do what we're ever going to do, and then we just, for example, Sunday school, we'll confess some sins here. We started 3 minutes late for Sunday school. Started 11:03 instead of 11 o'clock. Yeah, that's really troubling, so we started 3 minutes late. Normally we try to get right on the hour, but we started 3 minutes late. So right when we're getting ready to start the morning service, getting ready to walk forward, me and Doug were talking, and we're talking about trying to start on time. You know, let's make sure we start on time this time. And then he said, what's time anyways? You know, and we're kind of like rationalizing the fact that we were 3 minutes late. And you can do that. Whatever the situation is, you can excuse it. You can rationalize. I mean, we're good at that. We can do that. The problem is our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are deceitful. And what we can do is we can lie to ourselves and believe the lie that we're telling us. We're good at that. We can deceive ourselves. Therefore, our excuses, our justification, our rationalization can all be lies just to convince ourselves that we're okay when we're not. Now, success in life, listen to this statement. Success in life, and I'm talking about specifically the Christian life, is not because you do not have problems. You're not successful because you live a life and there's no problems, there's no bad circumstance. That is not the basis of success. Success is really this, when you refuse to believe the lies that you're telling yourself about those problems. See, when the problems come in, the circumstances come in, and then we lie to ourselves about those things, and the lies hold us down because we say, well, why even try? Why even put forth the effort? Why even try to do something for the Lord? We have all these circumstances, all these problems, and we lie to ourselves, convincing ourselves that why even try? And so success really is I refuse to believe the lies that I'm telling myself about those problems. Now, the truth of the matter is this. Now, I want you to listen. Whatever situation you're in life, whatever problems are plaguing you, whatever the circumstance in your life that you think that you just can't get beyond, that I would serve Jesus if it wasn't for that. I would live for the Lord if it wasn't for that reason or that person or that situation. Whatever that is, whatever you're talking, whatever lie you've convinced yourself to believe. Okay? Understand this. There are other people, whether you know them or not, there are other people who have the exact same problems. And they're serving the Lord. And they're living for Jesus. They have the same problem you got. So, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the history I have to deal with. You don't know the problems that plague me. Okay, I'll admit, I do not know it. But I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you there's other people who have the same. And they're living for Jesus. And they're serving the Lord. And they're being faithful. So the question is, what's stopping you? It isn't the problem. It is not the circumstance. It is not the situation you find yourself in. And I mean this with all love, but I mean it very clearly. It's that lie you're telling yourself. That's what's stopping you. You have lied to yourself to convince yourself that you cannot do it or aren't able to do it or just doesn't happen for you. That doesn't happen in my life. I can't do that. It's that lie you've told yourself. That is what's stopping you. Now, if we come back to our text, now often on a Sunday morning, we'll look at other verses and I'll tell you they're going to be on the wall, but this morning we're primarily going to stay right here in Matthew 15. Leave your Bibles open if you will, because we're going to keep coming back to it, looking at some verses, trying to draw some help from these verses this morning. So if we come back to Matthew 15 this morning, I want you to notice what's going on. It is one of those verses, I don't know about you, but it troubles me when I read it. It just doesn't seem what it should be. Notice what happens here. The Bible says in verse number 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." Now those are cities of Canaan. They're not in the land that we call Israel. They're part in the great promise that eventually the land of Israel spread prophetically. But right then and there, they were not Israelite land, Israelite city. The coast doesn't mean they actually went to the cities, but it means they went to that place, that border. And so what Jesus had done was this. Jesus traveled, if you will, to the Israel-Canaan border. That's what it means. He went to that border area, and because of that, they were both Israelites and Canaanites. It's kind of a place where they're, you know, it's like, you know, you go so far and, you know, now it's easy to go to West Virginia because you get across a big river, Ohio River, and you know that, you know, you leave Ohio and then you go across the river and go into the Promised Land. You know that. So it's a little different. Okay, but in some places, if you're walking, let's say you're going from Ohio to Pennsylvania, and you're walking, if there's no state sign, eventually someplace there's a crossing point, is there not? You may not know where it is, but there is a. And so someplace they quit being from Ohio and they start being from, Pennsylvania. Hard to say that word. Pennsylvania. And so I love West Virginia. I love Ohio. Pennsylvania, Michigan, not so much, But anyways, that's just said from Ohio. Someone who's born in Ohio and grew up in West Virginia. Now, anyways, there's that Israel-Canaan border there. And so it's inhabited by both Jews and Gentiles, both Israelites and Canaanites. Now, go back with me to chapter 15, look at verse 24. I'm trying to help you understand what's going on. But he answered and said, "I am not sent," this is what Jesus said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Prophetically, Jesus' ministry at that time, now, it doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love all people. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love everyone. But it means in that 3.5-year ministry, prophetically, he was supposed to stay to the house of Israel. He was the Jewish Messiah, given to the Jews. And he was there. Now, they're going to reject him. They're going to say, "We have no king but Caesar. We don't want that. Crucify him, crucify him." And because of their rejection, then the gospel is going to now transition to the Gentile world. But at this time in Jesus' ministry is primarily focused on the Jews, the Israelites. So this Canaanite woman comes to him, and he ignores her. So that's what's going on there in this story. Then I want you to notice this. This woman shows up, this Canaanite woman, verse 22. She shows up, and she has this great need. Notice what Jesus does in verse 23. Now, this should kind of bother us. It should just kind of doesn't sit well with us. Verse 23, "But he answered her not a word." Why? Because she's a Canaanite woman. really seems unfair. You're not born in the right place. You're not the right type of person. And he didn't even acknowledge her. Answered her not a word. So she continues to beg, and we can see from verse 23, she must have went to the disciples and said, hey, so we'll say Brother Littner is Jesus, and I'll be the Canaanite woman. And so I'm saying, Jesus, and help me. And he's just like she's not even there. So I get this idea, well, if I get to the disciples and get the disciples to go to him, maybe he'll pay attention to me. So she's going to the disciples. We know that from the next verse. Notice what happens in verse number 23. The disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, here's what I find interesting. She comes to the disciples thinking, I'll get the disciples to help me. What do disciples do? They're not interested in helping her either. They're saying, hey, get her out of here, man. Send her away. Imagine how this woman felt. Jesus is pretending like she's not there. You go to these people, and basically they're backstabbing you. You're thinking, okay, you'll help me. They're like, no, I'm not helping you. I'm going to say, get her out of here. Could you put yourself in her shoes? The only thing she's really guilty of is simply being a Canaanite woman. Finally, Jesus responds in verse 26. And notice the love and compassion. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to what? Put yourself in her shoes. Think what he's saying to her. You're not of the right people. You're the dogs. Now, that was a common word for Jews to talk about Gentiles. They're dogs. They're not part of God's covenant people there. Could you put yourself in your shoes? How do you think she felt? She's been ignored. She's been backstabbed. She's been rejected. She's been insulted. She has every reason to get mad and walk away. That's Christianity. It ain't nothing to do with it. That's how God feels. I don't need God. But notice what happens next. Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. You're right. I'm not a Jew. You're right. I'm not covenant people. You're right. I'm not the people you came to. Truth, Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, this is the turning point. She shows faith. She shows understanding. Most, I think, at this point would have left, quit, give up, be discouraged. But watch this. She humbles herself and hangs on. That's really where the turning point is. She says, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm not a Jewish person. I understand. I'm only to you guys. I know I'm a dog. But at least the dogs eat of the crumbs. Something you can do for me, Jesus. There's something. I believe you can do something for me. And we find out what happens in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her need is met. Here's in a situation she could have said, well, I give up. I ain't trying anymore. I don't understand what the Lord is. I just give up it all. But she said, no, I'm going to stay at it. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to quit. And her need is met. Now, if we're going to really see the Lord work in our life and meet our needs, it'll take that same type of humility and diligence in us. Now, I want you to notice three things we can glean from this. First thing I want you to notice is this. Number one, she's a Canaanite woman. She came to the right person. She came to the right person. We see that in verse 22. The Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. So she knew who she was coming to. This lady, this Canaanite woman, knew of the history. She knew the history between... Okay, she understood. I'm a Canaanite. Those are Jews. History is this. The Jews came into the land of Canaan, and what did they do to the Canaanites? Kicked them out. Pushed them out. She understood the history. She understood the Jews pushed out the Canaanites from the land. She understood that the Jews had no dealings with, no interaction, no intermarrying, or at least not supposed to. They didn't have anything going on between the Jews and the Canaanite people. She knew that the Jews called them dogs. She knew the Jews didn't like them. But she was willing to come to the Jewish Messiah because she needed his help. Now, let me ask you again. What is it that stops you from coming to Jesus? Pride? Understand the humility this woman had to do. She had to go to a person of a group she knew didn't want her. She had to go to someone who was, Jesus is a Jewish Messiah going to the Jewish people. And she had to humble herself and say, I understand this. They don't want me. They don't like me. They don't respect me. But I'm not going to let that stop me. I know who's going to meet my need. I know who I got to get to. And I'm not stopping just because of my pride or because I don't want to be humiliated. I will humble myself. I'll get to Jesus. What is it that stops you from coming to Jesus? Let me tell you, we don't want to admit that we actually need His help. You know why you don't go to Jesus? Because you'd have to stop and realize you can't do it all yourself. That you can't figure out your whole life and put everything together and plan everything and figure out everything and say, I got it all taken care of. Lord, I really don't need your help. Let me tell you, you do need His help. And your pride and your unwillingness to admit how much you need Him in your life is stopping you from coming to Jesus. What is it that stops you from coming to Jesus this morning? The fact that you don't want to admit that you can't figure it out all by yourself? Or that you... Watch this. Every man in this room who provides for his family... Now, I'll commend you. I commend any man who goes out, works a job, whatever job it may be, to get money to put bread on the table. That's a commendable thing. That would be nice if more people in our nation had that type of responsibility. Like if you actually brought kids into the world, you supported those kids that you brought into the world. Instead of forcing the government to support all those kids. Now, I think it's commendable that someone takes responsibility. But can I tell you this? But you can't do it without the Lord. You need the Lord. You need, as a man, you need to get to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. Lord, I can't do this without you. It takes a humility, but it's a necessity. Same thing we think about women. You're raising kids or... Let me tell you when... You realize this as your kids get older. You know when you quit raising kids? I'm asking, do you know when you quit? When do you quit? It seems like it's never... Is there ever a cutoff time? No. Because they're always your kids. You always love them. You're always concerned about them. Let me tell you this, you can't do that without the Lord. You stress out. You get all, oh, what's going to happen? And you got to stop and say, Lord, I need you. My kids need you. Lord, we need your help in these things. It was a big thing for her to come to Jesus. It was humbling, and as you see in the story, it was humiliating. But it was something she needed to do. She had to humble herself and come to the right person. You know why people often don't get saved? Because they don't want to humble themselves and come to Jesus. They want to think they can do it themselves. Well, I'll go to this church and I'll do these things and I'll keep these laws. And when I stand before the Lord, I think I'll be all right. Let me tell you, if you stand before the Lord unsaved, you're not all right. You're going to be on your way to hell. You have to stop and say, I cannot save myself. I need the Lord's help in these things. She came to the right person, willing to humble herself and even be humiliated. But she came to the right person. I want you to notice the second thing that happened. Not only did she come to the right person, but number two is this, she came at the right time. Now I want you to listen carefully. As far as we can tell from the Scripture, only one time did Jesus come to that area, and that was it. What if she had sat at home and said, I think I need to think about this more. I know He's Jesus. I know He's the Messiah. I've heard the stories. But I think I'll pray about it. If He comes back next month, then I think I'll show up. I think I need to give it a little more thought. And I don't know if I'm ready yet. It's going to be humbling. It's going to be humbling. I don't know if now's the right time. What would happen if she put it off? What would happen if she delayed? Let me tell you, she would never got her need met. Now, she would have sat there like you and me. I'll tell you what she would have done. Just like you and me. She'd say, why don't I have tomorrow? Well, I know I may die, but most likely I'm not. I mean, the percentage is in my favor. Let me tell you, the worst gamble you play is when you gamble with the Lord's working in your life. Because here's what we think. We think this. I can get right anytime I want to. There's an interesting verse. And we won't get all into it, but it's an interesting verse. It talks about Esau. It says he looked for a place to repent and could not find a place. You can so harden your heart and get away from the Lord. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't care. I'm not saying the Lord can't. I'm saying you harden your heart. And you think this. You think, I'm going to live the way I'm living. I'm going to live in sin. I'm going to go out and do all the things I want in the world. And when I come to this point in my life, I step over that point, then I'll get right with God. Who says that your heart is going to want to get right with God then? See, that's the mistake you make. That's the lie you're telling yourself. That you can bring yourself to repentance. It is the Holy Spirit that works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Without Him, you don't have the will and the doing. It's the Lord that works in us, that brings us to repentance, that brings us to a brokenness before Him. And when the Lord is working in your life, when the Lord is bringing it, now's the time. Now's when you respond. Let me tell you, many people have come to church and they've heard the gospel preached and the invitation come and they stood and they held onto the pew and their knuckles turned white and they said, "No, I don't want to get saved now. I'm not ready to get saved now." And they died and went to hell. Because they think, "Well, I got tomorrow." You don't know if you have tomorrow. So, "Well, I don't think I'm going to die." You know what? There's other things beyond dying. There's a hardening of your... We haven't told about this story in a while, so let's talk about it. God comes to Noah and says, "Noah, build an ark." He started building the ark, correct? How long did it take him? 120 years. Other than building the ark in 120 years, what was he else doing? Preaching. He was a preacher of righteousness. He said, "Hey, the rain's coming. The flood's coming. You need to get ready." And they laughed. They ignored him. 8 people got in that ark. And then this is what happened. They threw ropes down and they started pulling on the ropes. "Let's shut the door." Is that what happened? They stood there and all of a sudden the door went like this. Did you push a button? I didn't push a button. Who shut the door? God shut the door. And as the door was shutting, the rain was falling, correct? No. There's another 7 days before the rain came. For 7 days, people were saying, "Hey, Noah! I'm drowning, Noah! I'm drowning!" They're laughing at him. "Oh, Noah, throw us a lifeline!" But when the rain came, it was a different story. Noah didn't shut the door. Noah couldn't open the door. Could you imagine? There's probably people yelling and screaming. The closest people to the ark surely was making a beeline to the ark. Could you imagine? Maybe there's mothers holding up their kids and saying, "Please, just take my child. Just take my child." He said, "Why didn't he?" He couldn't open the door. He didn't shut the door. When God shuts the door is shut. You go ahead and play games and say, "Well, I'll get right tomorrow. I'll live for Jesus later." There comes a time when God says, "You know what, aunt? I may not be bringing conviction in your life. I may just, as Romans talks about, I'll just turn you over to a reprobate mind." Doesn't mean the Lord doesn't care. It means the Lord's just and holy. You don't play games with Him. And so she said, "This is the time. Now's when I got to come to Jesus. Now's when I got to make this decision." That was the only time that Christ was in that area. That was the only time that she could have made that decision. And she makes that decision. So let me ask you this morning. What is stopping you? What is stopping you from coming to Jesus now? Why not get saved today? Why not surrender your life today? Why spend another day holding out, resisting God, holding on to some sin in your life, hardening your heart, believing some lie? Why do we just simply say, "I'm just going to wait. I'm going to hold on"? Why not say, "Now's the time. I'm going to surrender today. I'm going to yield today. I'm going to give in today. Today I'm going to give in my life." What is stopping you? Let me just add a little bit here. And I want you... You may not understand this, but if you pastor people for a while, you talk to people, especially people who got saved and then waited a long time and then finally broke and gave their life to the Lord, they're going to tell you between that point A and that point B, they're going to tell you, there's a lot of baggage. A lot of baggage. Someone just told me the other day, they said, "I got away from the Lord about 10 years. And they said this, "In those 10 years, I went places I wish I never went to. I was around people I wish I never was around. I was a part of things I wish I was never a part of." And then he said this, and there's no way I can ever forget or put those things out of my mind. They happen. That baggage that holds on. Would it not be so much wiser when the Lord first works, when the Lord first strikes your heart to yield today, give Him your life, to avoid the baggage, avoid those parts. Say, no, today I'm going to live for Him. I don't want to go through the baggage. I don't want to go through my life having all these things I got to deal with because I didn't live for the Lord, didn't follow the Lord. I want to live for Him today and avoid that type of baggage in my life. Some of the worst baggage comes between that time that God speaks and that time you decide to surrender. Well, preacher, I think God can forgive sins. Well, you know what? I know God can forgive sins. But that doesn't mean there's not consequences. There are consequences to sins that we allow into our life. Brother Howes used to say this. It's a great statement. We spend too much time, and you think about a cliff, if you will. We spend too much time putting ambulances at the bottom of the cliff and not enough time putting guardrails at the top. Say, well, preacher, people, God can put lives back together. God can give you a second chance. But why not take the first chance? Why fall off the cliff and lay there mangled and say, God, help me? Now, God's gracious. He may help you. But isn't it better to stay on this side of the guardrail and not be mangled? Not have the scars, not have the nightmares, not have those bad memories, those hurt emotions, those problems that come in your life? So let me ask you one more time. What lie are you believing that is stopping you from coming to Christ right now? What lie are you telling yourself that you won't give your heart to Him? What is it you're saying? I know I should live for Him. I know I should follow Jesus. I know I should surrender. What lie are you telling yourself? What lie are you holding on to? Well, it won't be fun. I don't know if I can do what I want to do. What lie are you telling yourself? There's some lie you're telling yourself that's keeping you, stopping you from giving your life to Him today. What is stopping you? She came to the right person. She came at the right time. And here's third. She came with the right spirit. We saw that a moment ago in chapter 15, in verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What humility. She had been ignored, rejected, and insulted. But she was right there. She wasn't going away. You haven't listened to me, Jesus. Your disciples won't listen to me. You've said all kinds of mean things. But I'm still here, and I'm not stopping because I need you. Now, let me pivot for a moment. I want you to listen carefully. You will never fully understand God. You say, well, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't make sense that He doesn't care about the Canaanites even in that time. Okay, I'll agree with you. I don't know why. I'm just telling you, this is what we understand from Scripture. God said, I'm sending my Son. He's coming to the covenant people of Israel. That's His primary ministry for those 3 years. That's His primary. That's 99.9%. Other than this, it's right there. But why? Because that's what God decided. If you understood God, you'd be God. You don't, because you're not. We take it by faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. We take the Word of God and believe what the Bible says. That's how we live our Christian life. Not that we understand it all, not that we can all figure it all out, but we say, here's what the Bible says, here's what I believe based on what the Bible says. We live by faith. Sometimes it will seem, in your Christian life, now listen to me, sometimes it will seem that God does not care. I'm promising you this. You're going to get time in your Christian life, you're going to say, I've been there. Others have been there. And you'll say, you don't even care, do you? You don't care what's going on. I'm going through this heartache. I'm going through this heartbreak. And you don't even care about it. You'll be frustrated. Sometimes you'll feel like He's listening to you. Sometimes you'll feel like He's cold and indifferent. But you have to stop and say this. Lord, you're ignoring me. Lord, you're not paying attention to me. Lord, I can't get through to you. But I ain't leaving. I ain't stopping. And I need you, Lord. You got to do something in my life. That's the spirit that the Lord honors. So I ask you, are you willing to humble yourself before Him? And say, Lord, I may not come from a long line of Christians. I may not be famous or well known. I may not have some multitude of talent. There's nothing special about me. But Lord, I'm staying right here. Because Lord, I don't understand you. I don't understand what you're doing. It doesn't make sense to me, but I believe what this book says. And this book tells me you're a God of mercy, you're a God of grace, you're a God of love. That's what this, and I believe what the Bible says about you. And I'm putting my faith and my trust and my confidence in what the Bible says. I don't see it in my life, I don't see it in the circumstance, I don't see it in the problem, but I believe what the Bible says. And I'm staying right here. And I ain't stopping until you bless me. That's the right spirit. Now, we tell you this morning, right now, God is speaking to your heart. If you're not saved, He's saying, why not get saved this morning? Why not come to Christ? Why not? You've heard the gospel. You know that Jesus died for your sins. You know that if you die in your sins, you'll go to hell. You know that God wants to save you, take away your sins, give you a home in heaven. He beckons you. He pleads. God is not willing any should perish. All should come to repentance. God wants to save you right now. So what's stopping you? What's stopping you from responding right now? We're going to invitation time. And you know, if you know me, I don't push you super hard to come down to an altar. I want you to do the business of the Lord. But I know this, I don't think that you always have to come to the altar. But I am concerned if you never come to an altar. You know, this place here, this is a place of humility. You mean to tell you why? Because we're all standing with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to tell you the truth, people peek. Just telling you. How do you know? Because, well, first of all, I'm looking because I'm dealing with the invitation, but I see people peeking. Well, I don't want people looking. Well, let me tell you, they're going to. Yeah, it's human nature. And you say, well, people may see that I'm coming down. Yeah, they may. And people will think, they'll think I'm not right with God. That's probably what they'll think. And that will be humbling and humiliating. Yep, probably will be. Just like the Canaanite woman. What she said is, I don't care. I'm coming. I'm getting there. Because that's what I need. What is stopping you? What holds you back? What lie are you believing? What is stopping you this morning? Is there some sin? Some habit? Some issue that you're dealing with that holding you back? What is stopping you from dealing with it right now? Why not surrender today? Why not get saved today? Why not live for Him today? Canaanite woman said, yep, I'm a dog. Yep, Jesus ain't paying attention. Yep, disciples won't help me. Nope, not leaving. I need you, Jesus. And I ain't stopping. That's the spirit we need. If you bow your head and let's pray together. Father, I pray that you help us this morning.